Thank you, Sister Clark. I'm glad it's finished and he is Lord. And my text this morning will kind of go along with what she was singing. I didn't know she was singing and certainly didn't know she was singing that. But the Lord's going to come back and take the spoils of that he won on the cross. Amen. I want you to go with me to the little book of Joel this morning. I'm going to help you find it because I want you to get there with me. I want you to get over to about Ezekiel and go to your right. Get over to Daniel, keep going to your right. Everybody with me? Then you just keep on moving through Daniel and you're going to pick up a book called Hosea. And then if you keep going to your right, you're going to get right over to the little book of Joel. Three chapters, 73 verses, a little over 2,000 words, and I wish I had time to preach on all of it, but some of you'd go to sleep on me, I fear, or worse, so we're not going to do that. We want you to go to chapter 2 in the book of Joel. I'm going to read a lengthy little portion here, but by the way, folks, it don't hurt you to come to church and hear the Bible read. I know that might be a strange thing in some places, but not here at Landmark. We believe we hold the very, very Word of God in our hands, and that is very important. So we're going to read a little bit of an extra in it here in Joel chapter 2, and I might even refer some to Joel chapter 3. For the tape room up there, I want to talk to you this morning on preparation time. Preparation time. Most of us know what it is to be prepared or not prepared. We had the hurricane here recently. Everybody was scrambling around to get prepared, to go to the store and buy up a bunch of stuff before the hoarders got there. Amen. That's what we did, or some did. Preparation's important. College students, I heard about the young man in college. His dad had spent a bunch of money on him, but he wasn't doing good. In fact, he was flunking out. So he called his mother and he said, "Mom, I'm coming home from college. Prepare Pop." She answered him back, "Pop prepared. Prepare yourself." Preparation's important. Amen. Joel chapter 2. Pick it up with me in verse 1. Hope you're there by now. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and a strong, therefore hath not been ever lack, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them." This is not my message now, but I'll make an observation. If you read these verses I just read and the next few verses, many believe it's describing a modern warfare, how that we got weapons now that can turn the Garden of Eden into a wasteland in just a little bit. All this seems to be described here with the fire burning and so forth, and the talk and description of them. And it says here in verse 4, "The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of the flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, and a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his ways." Now look at it in verse 7. They believe the army tank might be described here. It shoots the flame out and does all this. It makes the ground quake. And he walks on his own ways. How many of you understand a bulldozer or tank riding on its tracks? It puts its own road down, and the wheels inside the tracks follows it on the way. Okay, maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't know. But it says, you walk on everyone on his own ways. Verse 8, Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city and shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now, this army may be a supernatural army, the Antichrist army that we know is future. It could be describing the weapons of the world today, very much could be also. And then it says in verse 11, something changes. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Now we got another army here, his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Now we're talking about the day of the Lord and his army. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. I'm going to stop right there. I may read a little bit more, just a little bit. What we're talking about here, though, God is telling us to get prepared. If we were to flip over to chapter 3, he tells us this in verse 9. Proclaim you this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowspears into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither, cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. I'm talking to you about the fact that the Lord is going to have his day, and he's going to have it, I believe, very soon. You know, man's having his day today. Boy, he is. I mean, he doesn't fear blaspheming God. He doesn't fear balking God. He doesn't fear all the bad stuff on the earth and defying anybody that wants to stand up for God. But God's day is coming also. I think about the Lord's telling us to be prepared. You know, when I was in the Boy Scouts, anybody in here ever be in the Boy Scouts? I couldn't afford a uniform, but I sure did enjoy them. They let me come like I was, and I enjoyed the Boy Scouts. You know what the motto, how many of you know what the motto of the Boy Scouts is? You know what it is? It's the motto of Landmark Baptist staff members. Be prepared. Amen. Think ahead. Be ready. Anyway, the Boy Scouts, by the way, that was a good organization before the homosexual movement messed it up. Started putting in the leaders of the Boy Scout and got up, made it legal, made it where they had to let them be. Don't you suspect the motive of any man that wants to be with the kids, the perverts, homosexuals? By the way, that group is embedded deep in America, whether you know it or not. Many of you know I correspond sometime with Bill Murray. He's Madeline Murray O'Hare, the woman that took prayer out of the school. It was her son, Bill, that she used as an example when he was in grammar school. Yeah, way back with the Supreme Court. But Bill got saved and he became a preacher, and he works mightily now on the conservative side of the political arena, and he's all over the world. And a letter from him I read this week, he said, with all the ambassadors that I go to in all these other nations, he said, it's hard to talk to them, because he said, you hardly ever find one that's married. And here's what he was saying. He was saying homosexuality is so embedded from Washington, D.C. down. You want to know why all the Trump hate going on? That's a whole big part of it. A whole big part of it right there. Bill was telling, he said, we spent over $1 billion taxpayers' dollars in the last few years promoting gay pride week in foreign countries. Putting the rainbow lights up on our embassies. In Israel, we raised the homosexual flag over the American embassy in Israel. When Obama was in the White House, you remember when gay marriage was okayed and legalized, that the White House was lit up all over TV with the homosexual colors. which is a smear on the rainbow itself, of course. But I'm saying to you, that group is embedded, I mean big time, and a whole pile of the problem that we got right now is exactly what that is. And folks, they're like they were in the Bible, in Sodom and Gomorrah, when the angels came in. They were, of course, pure. They were God's angels, and the homosexual crowd couldn't stand it till they tried to seduce them. And that same attitude is prevailing right now. And some of you parents looking at me like I'm crazy. No, I'm not. Your kids are being exposed to that kind of brainwashing right out there in the education system you got them in today, from kindergarten on up through college. Amen. Help yourself. But you know, this is a future text right here, but it's near. It's God's day. It's very close. See here? I want you to see that it's his war. See it in verse 11, I read it to you. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. It goes on, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can bide it? Now, we got in the news today the nuclear talk. We got the boy Rocket Man over there. That's a good name for him. Pops off like a firecracker. Anyway, little Rocket Man over there calling our president names and our president calling him names, and I don't have a bit of problem with that. Just tell it like it is. I like it that way. And by the way, that's the reason Trump got to be president. He started talking like you and I would like to, where we can understand it and calling it what it is. Amen. But we got nuclear war in the news, the name calling. By the way, let me just stop there because I brought it up. Time out. Let me tell you something. Jesus called Herod a name. Anybody remember to read your Bible? Try Luke chapter 13 and see if Herod... You know, the Pharisees was trying to scare Jesus with Herod, and they said, Herod's going to get you. And he said, oh, you tell that fox something. Fox, F-O-X, that's what Jesus called him. And Jesus didn't sin. Trump probably has. But Jesus didn't, amen. All right, you got me off on that. Your fault. I took time out. I'm not counting that against me. Listen, folks, God might be using President Trump for the time and hour. Somebody was talking to me about it this morning. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find out where a good king came on the scene and done well, and then you'll find where a bad one come, and then you'll find another good one and another bad one. And once in a while, you'll find where God picked up a crude, plain, rough individual and put him on the throne to do a job. Read about Jehu. He's the one that drove his chariot furiously. Remember that? And old Jehu got in there. Boy, he was rough as a cob. But boy, you know what he done? He had Jezebel threw over the wall. Remember that? King Ahab, I mean, he was the king, but Jezebel was the neck that turned his head. And he turned out to be a bad king because Jezebel ruled over him. You remember the story? And God raised up Jehu to come and get rid of Jezebel. Remember? You do know who Jezebel was. Well, maybe Trump is a modern day Jehu. I don't know. Whatever God wants to do, it's all right with me. I mean, Jehu threw Jezebel over the wall. I don't know who Trump's throwing over the wall. I do know that very few kids, little girls, get named Jezebel. By the way, Hillary's not on top of the list anymore either. I'm playing with you some this morning. We'll get down to it in a minute. But this is going to be God's war. We're hearing about the nuclear war. It may come, and I won't say this. I'd say this to the president if I could talk to him face to face. You better not trust China. China makes a lot of sounds, but China was behind the Korean War to start with, and they're still behind Korea. And I want to say I don't believe for a minute that North Korea is building all those missiles. I think they're getting them from China. And I think China's got a plan. Do you remember way back in the earlier days of the presidents, go all the way back to Nixon and Kennedy, and even coming on up through the Bushes and others? We had a thing. Ronald Reagan kind of tipped the tide on it, but we had a thing in America called mutual assured destruction, MAD, M-A-D. Now, here's what it was. Russia, you got these missiles. We got our missiles. You shoot at us. We shoot at you. And we're all going to be destroyed. Remember that? And that was supposed to be the counterbalance. Remember that? Well, I want to say something to you. China never bought into that. Never bought into it. During that time, China started building what's called hardened bunkers. And they've been building them ever since. And here was their theory. Let Russia and America and us shoot each other, and we've got the biggest population. We'll put all the important ones to us in the bunkers. We'll survive, and we'll come out, and we'll be the only ones. You never heard that? Check it out. Check it out. And now they say they've got more built than ever before, and they're not as afraid of the exchange as we think they are. All right, I lost you. I'm just saying to you, don't trust China too much. They're using North Korea as the monkey's paw. You know what a monkey's paw is? To get in the, pull the chestnuts out of the fire, so to speak. I want you to drop down with me because time's running out. Chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. God is talking here. And he says to him in chapter 3 here, in verse 9, he says, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. That's you and I. We're not Jews. We're Gentiles. He's saying to the Gentile nations, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Now, he's saying here to us, you Gentiles. And you know what he calls us, Gentiles? Do you like this in verse 11? He calls us heathen. How about that? Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Somebody said, well, that just means nations. No, but it means nations that don't know God. It means nations that are living like there is no God. It means nations that are into gross sin. You say, well, that's not America. Who are you kidding? Or listen, you can dress it up. You can put on an evening gown and a tuxedo, but adultery is still adultery, whether it's in the jungle or on Main Street. And the gross sins that America's involved in right now cries loud, if not louder, to God for judgment than any heathen nation you could ever imagine. Yes, we're heathen. Somebody said, where do the heathen go, preacher? They go to Walmart. They go to McDonald's. Yeah, they go to church. Uh-huh. That's where the heathen go. The Gentiles God is speaking to right here in this passage. Sure he is. You say, but we're educated. That means we can do sin a little bit smarter, but it's still sin. Still sin. God, though, has his army. Did you see that? It said it was his army. Verse 11, the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Do you know God's always had an army? If you were to read what 2 Kings about chapter 6, you'd read where Elisha the prophet had a servant. And the servant got up early in the morning and he went outside, and it scared him to death what he saw, because they were having a conflict with the king of Syria. And every time Syria tried to ambush the Israelites knew where the ambush was. And so the king of Syria said, will you please show me who it is among us that's for Israel? And they said, his servant said, oh no, king, it's not us. It's that prophet down there in Israel by the name of Elisha. He's the one that tells all your plans to the king of Israel. So Syria mounted up their army, and they went to the prophet's house down to Dothan, remember? And the servant went out early in the morning, and he saw the hills filled with the chariots of the Syrians and the army. Scared him to death. He ran into Elisha and he said, what are we going to do? What did Elisha do? He didn't pray against the Syrians. He prayed, Lord, open my servant boy's eyes. And then he said, when the servant looked around and saw there was, the hills were full of shining army, an army he had not seen until God opened his eyes. And you remember what Elisha said to him? Said there'd be more for us than against us. And you remember what happened? Elisha prayed and God struck blindness upon the Syrians, and Elisha went out and led them over to the king of Israel. And the king said, well, I've got them now, let's kill them. And Elisha said, no, give them something to eat and send them home. They'll learn the lesson. Read your Bible sometime. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. No, the truth is, God's always had his army. You and I need to open our eyes, see what God's doing. He's got his army out there. Oh, he hasn't been taken by surprise of all the evil that's come on the world. He's not surprised at all the gross sin that's being popularized and legalized in America. No, he's not. He's still in charge. He still knows all about it. And his day is coming. I'm reading about his day right here. It's not that far off. I mean, some of the reporters getting excited here in the last few days. There's something big about to happen. All the earthquakes in Mexico and all the bad storms coming and all the signs in the heavens. And even the reporters talking about, yes, something big's coming. I don't know when, but one day is going to be God's day. The Lord's day. And his army is going to get involved. And God is good. He's letting us know this ahead of time, so we'd be prepared. Prepared. You know, God's still in the miracle business. The Shining One story, I've talked to many missionaries that's had some stories that are really unbelievable, but I do believe them, where God delivered them from certain death because the enemy could see the shining soldiers of God even when the missionary couldn't. And the enemy later said, who was all those shining men standing around you? I could tell you several of those stories. Time wouldn't allow. I heard this week from an Israeli captain. Many of you don't know, but it don't get in the news like it should, but from the Gaza Strip over in Israel and in that area, Hamas and all that crowd, they've been firing rockets on Israel all the time, even when there's supposed to be a peace thing going on. They just kept on firing them, as many as 1,000 a month coming in. And you know that America's given them the Patriot missile system, which is to shoot a bullet down with a bullet, knock it down. That's what we're hoping we can do with Korea, by the way, but you don't always hit them. You miss sometimes. And this Israeli captain said we had the Patriot missile set up. We knew the missile was coming. Said we fired and we missed it. He said we had so many seconds left and we fired again and we missed it. We knew it was coming in on target. He said, by the way, they target early in the morning when people are taking their kids to school. They target in the afternoon when people are picking up their kids from school. They want to kill as many civilians and kids and families as they can. So he said. But he said, we missed it the second time. He said, we had 4 seconds. 4 seconds and one missile left to shoot at them. And we were not sure we were even going to get it off. And he said, before we could get it off, a strange, strong wind came and took that missile and made it hit the ocean. He said, now you can tell me that wasn't God. It was God. And that's not been all that long ago. I'm talking to you, God is still up there. He has all the power. He has his own army. And one day he's going to have his own day. It's going to be the day of the Lord. He's going to come back and he's going to deal with all this stuff, folks. Now he's good in that he tells us to get prepared. Get prepared. Real preparation is right here in the text. In Joel chapter 2, listen to it. Here's what he says, verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, watch it, turn ye even to me. All right, that's repentance, sure. Turn ye even to me with part of your heart. No, all of your heart. And with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and what does he say in verse 13? Rend your heart and not your garments. Now, rending the garments was a religious ceremonial act among the Jews. They had a number of ceremonial acts. We have them today. Most churches you go in today have a lot of ceremony. And there's a pile of people trusting the ceremony instead of ever rending their hearts before God. And that could be you and I today. We ought to be sure that it's toward God. It's with all of our heart. We're not trusting in the Lord's Supper. We're not trusting the baptismal tank. We're not trusting our church membership. We're not trusting being good. We're not trusting any of the ceremonies you might find at church that may be good ceremonies. But God said, I want you to cut through all that and be right with me on a personal basis. That's what he's saying here. Turn ye even to me with all your heart. That's the way you get prepared. Are you prepared this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you got the attitude that I am saved, my sins are on the blood, I know my name's written in heaven, and because of that, out of gratitude, I want to serve the Lord? Is that your position? Or is it, well, I got saved, now I'll just do what I want to and God will forgive me? Watch out. Watch out. God knew your motive to start with. Genuinely, are you saved? Have you really turned with your whole heart to the Lord? Be sure you have. Say, well, I joined the church when I was a kid. No, no, no. Have you ever been born again by the Spirit of God? Do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? If you're saved, you know that. You know that. Sure you do. You know, we've got an age that's come on us that was predicted in the Bible. What is it? 2 Timothy chapter 5, I believe. I believe it is chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 5, I believe, where Paul told Timothy the time would come that people would have a form of godliness, but they'd deny the power thereof. See, when I tell you about a miracle this morning, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Listen, if I didn't think God had power to do something today, I would not be up here hollering at you. I wouldn't be trying to help you. The same God that created the universe, that parted the Red Sea, that brought the walls of Jericho down, that same God lives today with as much power as he had then. It's not just a form, not just a ceremony, not just going to church, not just getting baptized, but personal relationship with that God. Don't deny the power thereof, because God's going to show this world one day he still has the power. And he's telling us to get prepared, and he's warning us here ahead of time about it. He's good to warn us to prepare. You get prepared by understanding that he gave his only begotten son to die for your sins on the cross. And he's the only one can pay for them. And he's the only one can write your name in heaven. Do you know him? Are you prepared? If he did come today, would you be ready? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Are you prepared? Some of the most awful words I ever heard in my life was, he's not prepared. It was a Saturday afternoon. First church I pastored in Sumter County in the country. We were building a Sunday school building. That afternoon, I was working by myself, doing some carpenter work back in the building. And I heard squealing tires coming up on the parking lot. I mean, loud. And I run around the corner of the building to see what in the world is going on. And there, pulling up in the parking lot in his pickup truck, was a teenage boy that had been saved and was serving God and living good. I knew for him to come in like that, something bad must be happening. I ran out and he jumped out of the truck screaming, "Come, preacher, come." And I jumped in the truck with him. And as he sped toward town, about 5 miles away, a little more than five, to a doctor's office, he told me this story. He said, I was out on the boat with my brother-in-law fishing, little old lake. His brother-in-law wasn't very old, not much over a teenager himself, in the early 20s. He said, we had taken the single-shot 22 rifle. I grew up with one of them, many of you did. We had it on the boat and said we plucked around at a snake or whatever. And he said, we brought the boat back in. pulled it up to the shore, and he said, I got off, said my brother-in-law, and he used his name, and I can't remember it right now, reached over and grabbed the rifle, but he grabbed it by the barrel. And when he pulled it, he triggered it somehow or another, and the shot went right through his heart. He was right there close to the house, and the uncle run out, helped, got the boy in the car, headed to the doctor's office Saturday afternoon. Len, that was the boy that picked me up, came for me. And we got there just almost time as uncle did with the wounded man. And as we got there, the nurse and doctor were there. They both came out. We had both doors open on the back seat of the car, and the boy was laying there, but his blood was dried. He was dead. And that uncle, I'll never forget it, was running around the car in shock, and here's what he was saying. I tried to grab him and comfort him some. He said, Preacher, he didn't know the Lord. He was not prepared. He was not prepared. The nurse finally had to give the uncle a shot in the arm to try to calm him down. But I'll never forget the words. He was not ready. He was not prepared. Young man, he didn't plan to die that day. He didn't plan to face God that day. But according to his uncle, and later on the teenage boy Lynn told me, no, he'd never been saved. Never been saved. I want to say to you, that boy didn't plan to die that day he went fishing. He had a young wife. He had life all ahead of him. But he died, and he faced God unprepared. I challenge you this morning, it's preparation time. If all the bad news you're hearing, from earthquakes to wars, the Lord's good. He's saying, I'm coming back. Nobody else can straighten this mess out. My army's going to get involved. That's what he's saying. Are you prepared? You can get prepared this morning. Maybe you've heard messages like this, and preachers have begged for your soul for years, and you've never surrendered to Christ. Right now you can. You can come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk out of this room today knowing if you die today or Jesus comes before tonight, you're ready, you're prepared. You could do that, believe in that seat and coming forward. And trust in Jesus Christ that loved you and died for you. Trust him as Savior. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. While our heads are bowed, let me ask you the most personal question, but the most important question. Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Say, yes, I do. If you can say yes to that because you trust in Jesus and nothing else and nobody else, no church membership, no ceremony, just him. You know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand up tall? Not ashamed of it? Glad I can raise my hand. Are you that way? Are you that way? Thank you and put them down. Are you here today and you'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm prepared. I'm not sure I'm ready. And preacher, when you pray, have me in mind. I want to be ready. I want to be saved. Would you slip that hand up for prayer in the back? Young person, mom, dad, would you slip that hand up for prayer? I'm not going to call your name, but I'll think about you when I pray. Would you slip that hand up? Yes, amen. Let's stand quietly then. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've just touched the tip of the iceberg of this passage of Scripture. But Father, if they don't get anything else, may they know that everything is not going on just like it is forever. You are going to intervene. And Father, you have no lack of power, but you're long-suffering and you're merciful, and you're giving men time to get prepared, to get ready. I pray, Father, that those in the sound of my voice in this building or else on the air today, that they'd bow their head and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. I pray you'd bless this public invitation. Father Jesus, everybody he encountered in the Bible, he made them make a public profession of whether they believed on him or not. Lord, I pray right here in his house today, in his church, that some would come and publicly confess, I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Bless the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet me right here? I pray you will. You come as we sing.
John.